now was 28. So that's That is, we can do the inverse Z transform and back transform back at this kind of to 4. So for this HZ, we have n positive, right? P1, P2, until Pn is our force. So our how to decide if our system is stable or not according to this transfer function? Easy question. Anybody tell me how to determine if our system is stable or not? Remember the pause? So,
poles are inside the inner circle.
Yeah, exactly. So, remember the, I think the previous lecture has this kind of math, right? Remember the lambda. The lambda plane, the S plane, right? For the right side signal, this kind of region is a stable region, and correspondingly, the Z domain. Our matching will make this kind of unit circle.
Our system input is unbounded,
We're not sure about that. That depends. So now let's see a specific case for a simple system. What if our system input is the sinusoid, sine or cosine? If we give our system, our linear system, a sinusoid input, what will be the output? I think other causes already told you that. We give sinusoid input, what we will get for the output. It's also sinusoid. But the output is still will be still be sinusoid, but with the change of the magnitude and the phase. The phase will change, the magnitude will change. This how many changes will make depends on your transfer function. Using Z transform, we can derive this. We can prove that the sinusoid input will generate sinusoid output. Also, we will be able to, in the end, we will get a formula. How much the magnitude change and how much the phase change for the sinusoid input. Cosine omega zero and u and the if we do this transform for our x n. From our transfer table, we will get xz, and it's this kind of second order polynomial term. It will be z times z squared. For this kind of rational polynomial form, we can do the partial fraction expansion, and we will reach that. This rational polynomial has two poles. They are compact poles, and we call one as e j omega zero, and the other is the conjugate for the this here should be negative. Right. We got these two poles, compact conjugate. And also the coefficient is also the conjugate of this relationship. We only need to compute the C, and then we will get the conjugate part of the C. We have these two coefficients and these two compact poles. So for this, with our system has these two ports. Is this system stable or not? Stable, much not stable, or not stable? Yeah.
Marginal,
right? Since remember though, what's the magnitude of this pole?
1.
Yeah, that's 1, right? Since the E zero means 0, they always be 1. So that means this system is marginal stable, and we can see that the sine wave is a signal that's marginal stable. And the poles are here. That's one pole, and that's the other. And this omega zero is the equal to 2 pi f0 over fs. This fs is the sample frequency, and f0 is the frequency of this effect. So, if we do partial fraction analysis for our transfer function hz, finally we can reach this kind of form. And that's our job. For the hz, we can represent hz as this rational polynomial form, right? And for our output yz, in the z domain, it's equal to the input xz multiplied by the transfer function. We know the transfer function is this rational polynomial form, and the xz, after the simplification, we get this kind of xz. And in the end, the yz can be write down as this. Has three parts. This part is from the transfer function, and these two parts are derived from the system input. And if we multiply z, if we cancel z here, and the z will be in here, here, and here. So for this coefficient, if we compute the coefficient, after the simplification, we can get here. That will be related to the magnitude change. So we call this the first term of this expression as the transient response. We call this transient response because it will, as time going forward, it will decay to zero. And this two part is still be marginal stable, it will, the system still have some output. And the second two terms can be rewrite as this kind of cosine signal. If we do the inverse phase transform for this two parts, we finally can get our, for this part, the yn. We can see that it's still a cosine form, right? This h e j omega 0 is the magnitude change. And for the previous omega cosine omega 0, and now we, in the phase, we add another phase change of the h e j omega 0. This phase change is from the transfer function, and this magnitude change is also from the transfer function. So here we proved that the, for a linear system, if we give the sinusoid input, we will get the sinusoid output with the magnitude change and the phase change. So, and also for our system, this here, this two poles, we call this pole as the resonance frequency. That's very important to us of this resonance frequency. Anybody can tell me why? When you design this, such as when you design a circuit, your system, we want to do some simulation and try to get the values of the resonance frequency to avoid something. So if we write down our system in this domain, yz equals xz, the input times hz. So we fix xz, and for the hz, we know that using the partial fraction expansion, it can be written as like C1z over z minus cos 1 plus C2z over z minus cos 2. Such as for this cos 1, so here's the key. If for our system input, the input has some kind of frequency. If the frequency is close to P1, what will happen? After the Z transform, if the, our system input is close to P1, this Z is very close to P1. Z almost equal to P1. That means the denominator is close to zero. This one close to zero. So this part is close to infinity. That means even our system input, the value even is small. But if the frequency close to the resonant frequency, our system output can be unbounded. For the circuit, for our circuit, if your input is close to this pole, this P1, your circuit output will be unbounded. And if our system is a like a physical structure, like a bridge or skyscraper, a huge building, this building will crack. The crash, right? Even for small input. So when we design this kind of system, we want to simulate, do some simulation. We try to reach, we try to get this kind of pole first, and then we will do analysis how many rates the input gets close to this kind of pole. now let's see some applications that how to use the transform for noise reduction. That's a small example, just give you some basic ideas. According to this picture is from the textbook. In the textbook, assume this is a non-small curve in the stock market price curve. Maybe the Dow Jones index. And our goal is to smooth this Dow Jones index curve and get the trend to do some prediction of the stock market and to make money on that. So we will assume that the Xn, this non-smooth curve, is constructed by the smooth curve plus noise. This Xn is that one, non-smooth one, and this Sn is our real signal, is the smooth one. And this Wn is the white, is the noise, and here we will assume it's the white noise. So the question is what's the simplest strategy to recover the smooth signal? What's the simplest method to do the noise reduction?
Moving average.
Right. We can do the average, right? For the, we can design this kind of average filter to make the output as the average of the current time frame with the previous time frame and the next time frame. That kind of case, we will make this curve more smooth. So that's a simple way to do it. And one question here, for this kind of average method, if we regard this as a filter, what will be this filter look like in the frequency domain? What's this kind of filter? It's low pass. So since the original curve, the free it produces lots of components in the high frequency. And after smoothing, these are the high frequency part, it will be removed. A signal, the more smooth the signal is, the low frequency it will be in the frequency domain. So another, for this kind of average part, one drawback of this kind of average method is that it not only use the previous value, it also requires the future value. Sometimes we don't know that future value. So that's one drawback. So to overcome that, we can use that infinite impulse response filter, the IRR. And in the day domain, we can design this filter. Here, we can make our transfer function, we only have one point, the B. And the curve of HC will look like this. It's exponentially decayed. And if we transfer back the HC in the time domain, we will get our YN is equal to 1 minus b times xn plus b times yn minus 1. Here, this filter takes advantage of the current input and the previous output in the system. It will remove the future input component. So in the chapter 10 of the book, we will discuss more details about the IIR filter and the FIR filter. Here, just give you some preview. Here's a little bit advanced knowledge about the statistics. So, for our signal, xn equal to xn plus wn, this is how we recall it, our real signal, and this kind of measurement noise. So, one observation is that if we apply the correlation function to the signal, this R is the correlation function. I think we covered something about it in the chapter, in the fourth lecture. The correlation function is the expectation of the xn and xn minus k. If this k is equal to 0, that's the variance graph. If the k is 1, that's this correlation between the current frame and the previous frame. So, here's some, after this kind of derivation and in the result, we can get a four part. The summation of the real signal Sn and the real signal S, the delayed Sn, and the summation of the noise and the delayed noise. These two components is the summation of the signal, the real signal and the delayed noise, and the delayed signal and noise. Here, we will assume that the noise component is uncorrelated with the real signal. We assume they are uncorrelated, which means these two summations will be just zero. We only have these two left. And also, if we give the assumption that the noise is white noise, we will get that this component, the expectation of noise and delayed noise will be zero in the case of k not equal to zero. It only has values when k equal to zero. Our people tell me what's the white noise? What's the difference with the white noise and the what's the difference of white noise? What's the benefit of white noise?
Special it contains all of them.
Right, exactly.
Well, I can't think frequency.
So in the frequency domain, it has very flat. If it goes to infinity, the noise in each bandwidth, white noise will have some value in each bandwidth. So the conclusion here is that if we apply correlation function to our signal, we can get the observation, our xn, the correlation function of xn, will be equal to the correlation function of the real signal Sn plus this noise part in the correlation after we apply correlation function. It's fixed. It's only related to the variance. So the significance of this result is that not only for the circuit, for a lot of engineering problems, we can apply the correlation function, and after that, we can remove the noise much easier. So, continued with the previous example, we also find that if we apply the DFT, the discrete Fourier transform, to the correlation function, for any kind of signal, if we apply the DFT to the correlation function, finally, after the derivation, we will get the this kind of power spectrum of this signal. This represents the DFT of the correlation function, and this term is this x e j omega j omega. It is the this is just the DFT, and after we give this square, we get the power spectrum, and that's the one formula we can get from math. And if we apply our system. If for each of this for this equation, if we apply each of this components into the correlation function, and we do the DFT for that, we will reach the DFT of the and the correlation function of the xn equals to this 2 part. And also this part is very neat, that is fixed, is the variance of the noise, and we can do that very easily. So and also that correlation function is blended to fixed, which means for auto correlation function, if we time delay the system input, we didn't change the auto correlation function. That's how it's called blind. So today we discussed how to do the system analysis, and also some noise reduction and a little bit of statistics. And that's it for today. So I think two of you will stay for the exam two, right? The makeup is that.
I'm going to figure out something that we have to do.